Good evening. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. It's broadcast number 678. It's December the 3rd, 1984. We're having trouble with our microwave antenna at the station. It fell down during a storm recently. And in order to put it upright the way it should be rebuilt, involved a few thousand dollars that the station has borrowed from the bank. They need more money, and we have to put that into the equipment at this time. But I'm asking people who subscribe to World Watchers or hear this program on other stations that if you are so inclined, we would appreciate a donation. If you're out of the state or out of the country or whatever, but you appreciate this kind of news, send a check, any amount. I'm not saying how small or how big, just to say we're glad that you have Mae Brussel, and it's an unusual program, and we want to help you in some way. It's necessary to keep this kind of news going on the air 1 hour a week without any interruption. We had 10 years I had at KLRB. Then it was sold Country Western and even changed their call letters to get away from the strong social station that it was at one time, to lose that image, to break that. And now this station has been, I've been with them 2.5 years. It's been on the air about 10 years. Listeners subscribed, and we want to keep going another 10, 15, 20 years or as long as possible. It's more important now than ever, so if you feel inclined to do that, it would be appreciated in some way if you could tell them that you do like the broadcast, that you get it in other places, and help them out so they can continue to stay on and be strong and reach a lot of people. Now, I want to go into the P2, continuing with the matter I was talking about last week with Rosanna Brodsky attempting to sell 3 atomic bombs to Arab countries, and his links to the Vatican, to Licio Gelli, and his co-defendant, along with 37 other people, is Bekir Celenk, C-E-L-E-N-K, also indicted for the assassination plot on John Paul II, the Pope. Celenk, strong links to Turkish mafia, and hired Ajan to be there at the Vatican, outside the Vatican, and attempt the life on the Pope. Where did these people get their power? How did the P2 get organized? And how did it link to the American intelligence community? Is very pertinent to the things that we were talking about last week also, the deadly chemical weapons that are being disseminated, the botulism and the tetanus, the handbook in the prisons on how to kill or assassinate, the selling of atomic bombs as if they were little apples or pears or pineapples to Arab countries, in quotes, to tease Israel. These are serious matters, and the root of all this begins after World War I, and then after World War II, and now there are a lot of people being handed instruments of death or violence that can cause a total dictatorship in this country, just as the Reichstag fire allowed Adolf Hitler to have absolute powers in Germany and then begin the genocidal arrangement of people and slave labor, and you know the consequences of that kind of mentality, and they seem to be in the driver's seat today. One of the articles I want to share with you that's very basic to this is out of Italy from the paper Expresso. It was published May the 20th, 1984, obtained through Ted Rubenstein and translated by Jonathan Marshall. And it's a report of the P2 Commission. That's a commission that was set up in June of 1981 to investigate the Masonic Lodge, the secret Masonic Lodge, the P2. And this is part of their report this year. It's been 3 years of work, 3.5 years, and this is what the Expresso tells about their investigation of the organization, part of their report. Licio Gelli's organization was the major Masonic family in Italy called the Grand Orient of Palazzo Giustiniani, G-I-U-S-T-I-N-I-A-N-I. The Italian masonry is composed of 2 main organizations. That's where duo, two, one, two, propaganda duo, 2 of them, or families. One is the Palazzo Giustiniani, and the other is the Piazza del Gesù. One has 15,000 to 20,000 members, and the other has 5,000 to 10,000 members. And there was a schism between the two organizations in 1908, but our CIA and OSLs help combine them, thanks to the American government, which really gave them their double muscle after the war was over and America was busy with Mr. Licio Gelli, who was a member of Hitler's SS, Gestapo, helped fight with Franco and helped form Mussolini's police equivalent to the Gestapo, and then goes on to work for the CIA. The article says that members of this lodge, the Masonic Lodge, the Grand Orient of Palazzo Giustiniani, can be brought in without normal vote, as new members can be drawn without the Grand Master, and they can belong to a covered lodge known as Propaganda. So within the Masons, this one organization, can be brought in people from the Vatican and from other secret societies into the Propaganda, and it is hidden from the rest of the world and even other Masons. Giustiniani, I don't know if I'm not pronouncing it right, but believe it, Giustiniani, is oriented towards the British Masonry and towards members of the British royal family are part of this, and we're close to Licio Gelli, helped bring him back to Italy after the war from Argentina. The article says they have important connections to the northern United States also, which the Grand Orient combines with the eastern seaboard of the north, which later is incorporated and part of the Allen Dulles, John J. McCloy, Bill Donovan, the American bankers, the representatives of the banking system in America that formed the OSS, and then the CIA. They lean towards those people of the Grand Lodge of England and also of Northern United States. In 1947, Frank Gigliotti, who was an ex-agent of the Italian section of the OSS, worked with this lodge and worked with Licio Gelli. But in 1947, that's the year the CIA was formed, he goes on to the CIA. He's one of the connecting links important to this lodge and also to Licio Gelli, Frank Gigliotti. He's described in the book Who's Who in the CIA. Frank Bruno Gigliotti studied in Rome in 1941 to 1945. He was the chief advisor to the Italian section of the OSS. The Italian had their own section of our OSS. And then he goes into the Counterintelligence Corps, where he meets up with Licio Gelli. He also is described in Who's Who in the CIA as being in California from 1946 as a clergyman in Lemon Grove, California. Now, out of that Southern California group came Patrick Frawley, a Knight of Malta, closely linked to the Vatican and with clergy and the church right wing that later ties into the Kennedy assassination. And out of California came Richard Nixon and his offices that were host to Nikolai Meloxi and Ronald Reagan. Gigliotti is very important, Frank Bruno Gigliotti out of Lemon Grove, California. And he worked with Licio Gelli, the head of the secret team, that propaganda duo inside the Grand Masons, the covered lodge, known as the Propaganda. It began, and then it was combined, thanks to American intelligence. Gigliotti worked with the CIA, and later he was president of what was called the Action Committee, formed by the United States to respond to appeals sent by the Grand Orient Lodge and his Masonic brothers to open up the Masonic House of Palazzo Giustiniani. Now, evidently, that part wasn't opened up, or it was a secret, separate part of the Masonic House that became the American intelligence branch of the OSS and the CIA. The American members of the Grand Orient Masons made a compromise with the Grand Orient Lodge and the Italian state, and it was sponsored by the American brothers as of July 7, 1960. Now, 1960 was the year when John Kennedy was to run against Richard Nixon. Nixon, the selected candidate of evidently the Permandex operation and Cardinal Spellman and a lot of powers that be. And when Permandex was sent into operation, very important year, they had all the machinery to kill John Kennedy in case Richard Nixon lost the election to John Kennedy. And the American OSS and CIA were reactivating the Masonic Lodge in Italy with Licio Gelli of Hitler's Gestapo and Franco and Mussolini's armies, combining what was the OSS into the CIA in 1947. And by 1960, the American powers be, the intelligence operation, were working with the Masonic Lodge in some way. This article on the background of the P2 says the transactions allowed the Grand Orient in Italy to exist after the war, and it was signed by the Minister of Finance, Mr. Trabucchi, in Italy, T-R-A-B-U-C-C-H-I, Grand Master Publio Cortini, and present at the table when this group was signed were American Ambassador Jay Zellerbach and Frank Gigliotti. Also in 1960, thanks to the brothers, the American brothers in the Masons and friends of the Italian Grand Orient Lodge, another operation was formed, helped by Mr. Gigliotti. They unified and brought together the Supreme Council of the Supreme Grand Lodge. They united the Palazzo Giustiniani and the Piazza della Gesù. Thanks to the American OSS and CIA, the Propaganda Due was born. Those are the two lodges, the duo, rather, D-U-O, the Italian word two. And the origin of it was the two lodges, but the propaganda part is the secret part, covered lodge, secret from the rest of the world, which is the infiltration or combination or the marriage of the American intelligence community with the Italian intelligence community, and out of there comes your Permandex with the technology and ability and skills and cover operations to get rid of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and a lot of other people. Now, the United States helped unify and bring together the Supreme Council of the Grand Lodge of the AJAM, the Sicilian Prince Giovanni Aliotti di Monterreale, whose name was linked to the Black Prince Borghese. And again, this is important because Borghese and Otto Skorzeny and the Galen people are a backbone of the Permandex group that had the assassination teams all over the world and effected that very successful coup in Dallas 20 years ago. This story from Expresso says the unification of the Grand Orient Lodge with the Black Masonry of Aliotti, close to the Borghese family, was Gigliotti's condition for American intervention into the Italian government and interfering with the lodges there. So this gentleman who worked 1941 to 45 with the OSS was active with Mr. Donovan, Bill Donovan, and Alan Dulles during the war period from actually the Pearl Harbor dates to when the war was over. After the war in 1960, America again is visible, continuously working with them, but visible again, interfering, helping set up this Grand Orient after the war in 1960, and also combining the propaganda. Do a very important story on the background of the relationship of Alessio Gelli and the gentleman in California that we've never heard about out here in California, from the OSS and CIA, and the connections of these people, these governments, the Italians and the Americans together, to our intelligence operation that was effective from 1941 to 1945. I'd like to know where Mr. Gigliotti is today, or if he's even alive, and if he's still in Lemon Grove, California. It'd be interesting now to do more research on this name and follow where he is. Now, last week I left off part one of a very important story in New Statesman, obtained by Ted Rubenstein from England, written by Donald Sassoon on Alessio Gelli. And I want to continue at that point with the story of Alessio Gelli. And this is what the article says, published September 21st, 1984. Alessio Gelli's contacts were not limited to Latin America. Michael Sindona and Roberta Calvi, after him, he followed. And these were the God's bankers depositing the mafia money, the drug money, with the Vatican Church in cahoots with the popes and Paul Marcinkus at the Vatican Bank. They were in touch with the American Freemasons. This is the Vatican and the Freemasons, in particular John Connolly and David Kennedy. Now, John Connolly is mentioned in the Torbett document for his important role with Permandex, and Albert Osborne and Ian Fleming down in Montego Bay, the assassination teams that affected our country. And last week I talked about the Mitra Corporation, the CIA investigative team on counterintelligence that used William Sullivan, and he was an important part of the Permandex Operation, Division 5 of the FBI. This story goes on in New Statesman. Alessio Gelli was invited to both Carter and Reagan's inauguration. Here we are obviously entering the mysterious world where jelly is the top of a complex structure pyramid. And over jelly, an upturned pyramid, little is known. Jelly probably was a linchpin between the lower and the upper pyramids. When the House Select Committee was doing their work on the assassinations, and they were looking for an anti-Castro Cuban or a possible mafia connection, I did a pyramid at that time of how high the assassination team would go before you get to the truth. And at the very top is the Permandex, the CIA, the Defense Department, and our intelligence operations working with the Nazis. And that's exactly where I was in 1967, figuring that out. And now in 1984, there's a story. And the kingpin, the linchpin, according to New Statesman, is Licio Gelli. Now, the trick is to find the upper part of that pyramid that Gelli represents or works for. And then the article goes on, what is known is that much of the Italian public life has been managed by secret associations, the Mafia, the Freemasons, the Secret Service, the Special Affairs Division of the Interior Ministry, like the CIA. And the one thing they leave out of here, they mention these, the Mafia, the Freemasons, and the Secret Services. They leave out the Vatican. They leave out the Opus Dei and the Sovereign Military Order of Malta with their overt role of spying, secret societies, but their spying roles. They don't mention that. But the article says what is not known are the names of all the shareholders or members of the upside-down pyramid. What is established is the network of companies connected to P2. So in a few moments or minutes, I'm going to talk about the way these companies were set up, how they were set up within days of when the war was over, and a little bit about who they represent, but the upper part of the pyramid. Now, the article is Michael Sindona connects to the Sicilian and the American Mafia. But Michael Sindona connects to more of that, to be responsible for the failure of the Franklin Bank in New York, $45 million, or to be close to John Connally, who was Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of the Navy, Governor of Texas, is more important than just mafia here. Claire Luce, an associate of Michael Sindona's, is part of the CIA, the Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board of Ronald Reagan, whose late husband put together Time, Life, Fortune, Sports World. These aren't exactly what you call mafia contacts. It's more an intelligence network working for that upper side of the triangle and not mafia alone. The pitfall is when you fall back just on the mafia as being responsible here. Now, this story says the P2 is not a simple organization of criminals or just another mafia. It is the product of a political system which was constructed 40 years ago. Now, 40 years ago, it would be 1944, the end of the war. And this is when they were active. The Nazis went underground in 1943, from 43 to 45. Martin Bormann was setting up his 750 corporations. The Swiss banks were getting loaded with the Nazi gold, the diamonds, the wealth of the Nazis, of the fascist system from Italy and Germany. And this article says that it was a product of 40 years of a political system by Italy's Christian Democrats. It is a result of an abnormal growth of power outside the formal institutional system and the democratic framework. You have to go one step further and say the Italian Christian Democrats couldn't do this alone. Everyone operating at the highest level here is a Knight of Malta, more the Vatican than the Christian Democratic Party. The Christian Democratic Party can be put in by the Vatican, but the Vatican has the controlling interest here. And all of these agencies that we tap into are outside the formal institutional system of and the democratic framework of our own government. Whether it's MK Ultra, the political assassinations, the death squads, the dictators we support, affairs like the Nguyen Bank or the Rewald Corporation in Hawaii, all these extra operations, the CIA, the Defense Department's dummy front organizations, is much larger than our institutional system or the democratic framework. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows for we have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. Nothing allows for the National Security Council or this cancer that was spread. And this article refers to Licio Gelli and Michael Sindona, David Kennedy. David Kennedy is one of the highest ranking Mormons, active in the Mormon Church. They both were Treasury Secretary under Nixon. This Odessa network that we referred to is actually the Fourth Reich's network, and they give it some concern in the New Statesman, but don't carry it, again, that one step further where it really belongs. Now, the importance of the OSS, when we talk about Gigliotti working in the OSS from 1941 to 45, we're talking about Mr. Bill Donovan and Alan Dulles. And so I want to go into the matter of the network of Donovan, who has been long overlooked by many of his researchers. We know John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, one the head of the State Department, the other the OSS, acting in the OSF. But Alan Dulles in Bern, Switzerland, was under Bill Donovan, actually, and took his orders from Bill Donovan, if you can believe that. So I want to talk about him now, and again, that upper part of the triangle with Licio Gelli as a connecting link. In the book The Last Hero, it's about Wild Bill Donovan by Anthony Cave Brown, there's a good view of this group that got together before the war and after the war, and this is what I'm going to be quoting this book right now with you. On page 30, it says that February the 23rd, 1916, Mr. Donovan, who had graduated from law school, he had Catholic learning. He was trained as a Catholic and lived in Buffalo, New York. He was part of the Buffalo Society. He started to work for Rockefeller Foundation. He got a telegram from the Rockefeller Foundation inviting him to New York for a meeting. Somewhat mystified, because Donovan was no more than a provincial corporation lawyer who had yet to make his name in Buffalo, New York, but for some reason was tapped on the shoulder by the mighty Rockefellers, he attended the meeting and was invited to go to Europe on behalf of John D. Rockefeller Foundation to negotiate with governments in London, Berlin, and to help, in quotes, with the famine in Europe at the time. Plainly, powerful forces were already at work on Donovan's behalf, and one of them was John Lord O'Brien, close to Mr. Wilson, President Wilson, and Rockefeller. And Donovan accepted the mission March the 10th, 1916, and went over under the guise of the War Relief Commission of the Rockefeller Foundation over to Europe to visit various countries, Holland, Denmark, Germany, Austria, Turkey, Bulgaria, Norway, and Sweden. And he went into England, where he was immediately to meet Herbert Clark Hoover. Herbert Hoover was in Europe over 20 years without returning to the United States. He had a dual citizenship between the United States and Great Britain. He was involved with massive investments in Russia before the revolution came. He was living in Europe, in England. The name Stanford is synonymous with Hoover. He graduated from Stanford University. He made his fortune, it describes, as a mining engineer. He was what they referred to as on the slippery road of public life when he was chairman of the American Relief Committee, and he was supposed to be supplying American citizens stranded in Europe with help during World War I to get out of Europe. Then he became director of a food program that was supposed to feed 10 million people in Europe, but which actually was setting up the Vaslav's army, the Tsarist, white Russians that were kicked out of Russia when the revolution came. And, of course, the consuming desire of Herbert Hoover and everyone around him his entire life was a war against Russia, which was known as World War II. And he was aiming and arming for that from the time that the Tsars were kicked out of Russia. The Hoover Institute in Palo Alto is a repository of German and Nazi and Tsarist and monarchy documents in the hopes of restoring these people someday and getting the Soviet Union moved out, even if they have to kill everyone to get them out, to reclaim that land for those people over here who still think it belongs to them. Now, this book on Donovan says that a biographer, William Samuel Stevenson, British secret agent known as Intrepid, worked in Washington during 1940 and 41. He was in the United States in 1940 to 41. That's before Pearl Harbor. There's much evidence that the Americans knew in advance of Pearl Harbor but didn't stop that. This would be the excuse to get America into war. Mr. Stevenson was there during this time period, but it says he met Mr. Donovan in England, in London, in 1916. When Donovan is over there representing the Rockefeller Foundation, he met William Stevenson, and this is very important. Stevenson is a Canadian with an American mother. There's this overlap of the American Canadians, and we'll do some more on that, Mr. Bloomfield of Permandex, American OSS, and also a Canadian citizen. Donovan has an American mother and is also a Canadian. He was captain of the British Royal Flying Corps. In 1916, he was with Donovan in London and Herbert Hoover. Then he's over here in 1940-41. We're getting ready for America now to enter the war that they've been beefing up since 1919. Now, Donovan is also over in the northern part of Russia. It's now the Soviet Union. And in June 1919, when the war was over, he's associated with Hoover. He's associated with William Stevenson and British intelligence. And he goes up to Omsk, O-M-S-K, which is the capital of Russian Central Asia. And he's with the commander-in-chief of the United States forces at Vladivostok, General William S. Graves. And the purpose is to inspect and report on the government of Admiral Alexander Kolchak, who appointed himself the supreme ruler and commander-in-chief of all Russia in opposition to Lenin and Trotsky. So William Donovan's background of anti-Soviet fervor didn't begin when the Nazis went underground. He was associated with the highest people in office, with General William Graves, the commander-in-chief of the United States forces at Vladivostok. And into Manchuria came a lot of the Tsars that couldn't go through the Polish Eastern Europe routes to leave the Tsarist Russia. They came down through Vladivostok and Manchuria and then found their way into United States intelligence. And even in Dallas at the time, Kennedy was killed, some of these agents. Jean de Morenschild was one of those, married to George de Morenschild, who worked for Rockefeller, their family that sent Donovan over to Europe in the first place in 1916. So the connection of Donovan goes back to the Vladivostok area, to Mr. Kolchak, to the opposing administration of Lenin and Trotsky, and this is very important. He came home in that time period, 1919. He tried to raise $94 million from the United States government for Kolchak's army. Our Congress refused to give it to him. So by October 1920, and this is very important, the House of Morgan, John Pierpont Morgan, taps Bill Donovan to help set up an excursion. He quotes an excursion into the world of big business and the interrelationship of politics. Translated means let's get ready for the next war. The Morgans help finance. They were one of the biggest financiers of World War I, and then they hired Donovan when Congress refused to give Kolchak the $94 million. The House of Morgan set up $2 billion and to finance what they called the peace, which means we'll have peace when Russia is wiped out. They proposed floating a $2 billion worth of securities of foreign governments and corporations, expand the House of Morgan interests, promote mergers and acquire corporations, and use the intelligence resources from Europe and England and Donovan and what they call the Rainbow Division's intelligence officer, Grayson Murphy, so that the Morgans and other financiers stepped in, and for some reason, Donovan was handpicked from Buffalo, New York, to go to the Rockefeller Foundation, to William Stevenson in that early time period, to Herbert Hoover, then up to Kolchak, back to the United States, and then to begin under the House of Morgan to set up the business connection networks of banking and the commerce that would fund Adolf Hitler in the hopes that he would be able to take on the Soviet Union, and then they would be back in business and put the monarchies back in power. Now, I'll take a one-minute break, and we'll continue building up to the second part of that inverted triangle of the power base of Licio Gelli, the OSS, and the CIA. All of this helps explain the role of America with their death squads in South America, or the dictatorships of Pinochet, or the president of South Korea, of Marcos in the Philippines, and Stroessner in Paraguay, and Uruguayan police, our CIA, putting in those dictatorships around the world, or the Nazi, Mr. Sadat, passed off as a liberal in charge of Iran, a Nazi, and putting in the fascists in Greece with the coup. All of this fits together with the American support of Nazis and fascists in so many different countries.